Italy's foreign minister says an Italian Jesuit priest missing in Syria has probably been abducted by an Islamic group. Emma Bonino told state television on Tuesday that the captors of Father Paolo Dall'Oglio appeared to be a local version of Al-Qaeda and that Italy was working to secure his release. The Jesuits of the Middle East earlier issued a statement expressing their deep concern over the fate of Father Dall'Oglio, who went missing a week ago in northern Syria. One Jesuit priest based in neighbouring Beirut, who knows Father Dall'Oglio well, is Father Michael Zammit, who spoke to myself, Susie Hodges.
There is a lot of concern because he has given no sign of life. We don't know where he is, what he's doing. We haven't heard from him. And we usually are in contact or in indirect contact with him. So it is very worrying.
This is a man who is strongly committed to dialogue with the Islamic world, isn't he? He even founded a community. Can you tell us more about that?
He did found a community, but the community is essentially a religious community in the Syriac tradition. The Syrian Catholics don't have any more any religious foundations. So he restored a monastery of the 7th, 8th century, the Syrian Catholic monastery, and he restored the monastery, and he also founded a community of religious over there, male and female religious. Now, as they are very much in an area which is mainly Muslim, they're very, very open to Muslims, and they want to witness to their faith in a Muslim context. That is very important. I have heard Paolo explaining the Christian faith using Islamic terms, and that is very, very interesting.
The Jesuits there in Lebanon have also expressed concern about the situation facing another Jesuit priest and the people he is living with, who are trapped in the Jesuit residence in the Syrian city of Homs. How bad are conditions there? Do you know how many people are trapped there and whether they have enough water, food, power?
So it's Father Frans van der Lucht. He's a Dutch Jesuit, and he has been trapped since Easter of last year. He hasn't been able to come out or go in. There are about 87 Christians in the area which are with him, and he refuses to leave the area unless all 87 can leave. And the situation is very, very bad because you have the bombardments all around, and food is very scarce. For the last few months, they have been only eating rice and other dried products. And even that is not available in very large quantities. They are in an area which is completely surrounded by the Syrian army, and nothing can go in or out. So we are very, very much concerned. Recently, the area just next to where they are living in Old Homs, the Haldiye area, was occupied by the Syrian army. So it's now just a question of time when they will move into the last remaining areas of held by the other side.
And do they manage to have access to clean drinking water, for instance?
I think the only access they have is to wells, so water that has been stored in wells. We sometimes manage to contact Father Franz by phone. I think the last time we did that was about 2 weeks ago.
Apart from the people, as you say, there and the other Christians around, there's many, many thousands of civilians still living in the city, aren't there? I mean, how grim must life be for them?
The city is really divided into two parts. You've got the part which is occupied by the regular forces, and over there, there is no real problem going on. And then you have this last centre in which the Free Syrian Army is in control. And the problems are mainly over there, not elsewhere. We have other Jesuits in Homs, in another residence about 2 kilometres from where Father Franz is, and they are not really in need of anything. They manage to get everything they need, food, water. Of course, everything is much more expensive, but they do manage to get it.
And how would you describe the morale of Father Franz and the people that are with him, as you say, in this area of the city where a situation is very difficult?
I can only speak for Father Franz. He refuses to leave. He has had often, several times, the possibility of leaving, but he refuses to do so because he believes that he should be with the people he cares for. So I would say his morale is good. And it's a wonderful witness to what religious life is all about.
Turning now to Lebanon, which of course is right next door to Syria and where there has been some spillover sometimes of those sectarian tensions. How worried are people there that this civil war, the longer it goes on, you know, is going to spread across the borders?
Well, you already have Lebanese people fighting in Syria on both sides. You would have Sunni fundamentalists fighting with the people who are against the Syrian government, and you would have the Shiite Hezbollah especially fighting with the Syrian government forces. So the war is already taking place between Sunnites and Shiites, Lebanese Sunnites and Shiites, in Syria. And everybody, of course, is afraid that the war will take place here in Lebanon. There have been a number of problems, Sunni-Shiite, in Lebanon, but it seems that there is a desire from the political point of view, and for that the Shiites are very well organized, that it does not spill over into war in Lebanon. But if the Shiites are well organized, the Sunnites aren't, and you would not know what will happen on the Sunnite side.
There is, of course, a huge number of refugees from Syria that are continuing to flood across the border. That, too, is creating some strains, isn't it?
Definitely. We're talking about maybe 1.5 million refugees in Lebanon. The problem is that you have a lot of people looking for work. Some people are opening shops. That is very, very badly looked upon by the Lebanese people, who already have to struggle to live. So not only do you have a problem of refugees, but you have a problem of people actually working and taking away the work of the Lebanese people. So you have, from the Lebanese side, people are very uncomfortable with so many people.